Hello, you're watching the La Nouvelle Esprit video series on the theology of the body. We are your hosts. I am Jeremy Hossotter.
And I'm Guillermo Moreno.
So this video is dedicated to audience 65. So we're going to continue where we left off last time. We introduced the text of Mark 12, also Matthew 22, where we're talking about this dialogue between the Sadducees and Jesus concerning the afterlife and marriage. So the Sadducees made this argument that if, and it's based on this concept of levirate marriage, where essentially if you have a man who marries a woman and he dies without leaving a heir to his bloodline, then the man's brother can marry the woman, and any male sons through the brother will be counted as the part of the genealogy of the dead brother in order to continue their bloodline. And with this teaching, then the question the Sadducees asked Jesus is this: when all the brothers die, because in their hypothetical situation, you had seven brothers who all had the same wife and then died. The question that they asked Jesus was simply this: in heaven, who is the husband out of these seven brothers for this one woman? And what Jesus said was simply, there is no marriage in heaven. They will neither be husband or wife, but they'll be like the angels. And so Jesus further replies then that the Sadducees are wrong because they are both ignorant of Scripture and of God's power. And so there are two essential statements of Jesus we want to focus on in the text here. And that's the statement about the future resurrection and the state of being of the risen bodies, like what kind of a body these are. And if you are new to our series and are wondering just who are the Sadducees, well, in the previous video, audience 64, we talked about the various different Jewish groups during the time of Jesus, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and others. So I recommend that you check out that video. So something to keep in mind with the Sadducees in Scripture is that, of course, they believe in only the first five books of the Bible as being God's written word. The other books were not treated as Holy Scripture. So they accepted only Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And from the way that this conversation played out between Christ and the Sadducees, it's clearly can be seen that the Sadducees saw the resurrection as a theory that can be refuted. And that was the whole point of their hypothetical situation with the man and the woman and the seven brothers. And Christ, again, he just simply said that they're wrong. They flat out do not understand Scripture. And what this means then is that the Sadducees are mistaken in their method. The Sadducees err in substance because they are ignorant of the power of God. The Sadducees, if we recall, they had kept a very literalist interpretation of Scripture, but this literalist view is insufficient because they were ignorant of God's power. And we see this in Christ's statement when he says that God is a God of the living, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac, God of Abraham. And this is a reference to Exodus 3. And what this hints at then is that the Sadducees do not really accept he who was revealed in this episode, the burning bush. at Exodus 3, this revelation of God's name to Moses. And this is within the very books that the Sadducees held to be scripture. Guillermo, do you have anything you'd like to add at this point?
Yeah, just something in the back of my mind. I just wonder why didn't the Sadducees believe in the resurrection in the first place? If their point of reference and their only reference was those the Pentateuch, then I guess I can see why, because is there any direct reference to the resurrection of the body? Well, as Christ points out in Exodus 3, yes, well, God is not God of the dead, but God of the living. That was just a little bit of food for thought on my end.
Yeah, I think it just really comes down to, if you hold like a really strict literalism, you don't really see the word, I think, resurrection in the afterlife. So like the Sadducees did not have they did not really believe in an afterlife. I think this is analogous to those who object to the teaching of the Trinity. It's like, where is the Trinity? I do not see that word in the Bible.
Who does that?
You'd be surprised.
What?
There was a group that actually objected to the teachings of Nicaea because language that Nicaea was introducing, you know, those philosophical terminology, it's not in the Bible. They did not want to introduce something that was not biblical in language.
Okay, I thought you meant like contemporary people.
Oh, I'm sure there's contemporary
there probably are.
Thinkers, well, too. Especially when you think about, there is a movement within Protestantism to eliminate the Hellenization of Christianity. What? So what they want to do is eliminate essentially Greek philosophy. So that would eliminate the concepts of person, substance, accident.
Essence. Oh, boy.
Yeah, which would pretty much gut Catholic theology at that point, once you eliminate all these terms. So you do see something like that, even in the 20th and 21st century.
Because, okay, no. I see what you mean.
Yeah, it's very strange to think about, but you can't take a kind of literalism to such an extreme like that.
Of course.
I suspect that's what we have here with the Sadducees, because
Yes,
there are, I think you can find textual evidence, but it's not like clear cut that 2 + 2 = 4.
I think you using the terminology of the word Trinity, that works because, where is Trinity in the Bible? Where is incarnation? Where are these words? And because we don't see them, then it's not real. I guess similarly with the word resurrection, or the phrase resurrection of the body, and the Sadducees, it's not in there, so can't be true.
Exactly. And the fundamental error, just like in all those cases, it just goes back to kind of an ignorance of who is God and his power.
And
enough.
And I'm just, I guess, how to read texts.
Right.
For too. Lack of other words, in context.
Yeah. Very basic.
Yeah.
That's part of the problem of ideology and just reading a book.
Interesting. Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, thank you for those thoughts, Guillermo.
Absolutely.
So, life through the covenant. So, here is the verse in particular. This is Exodus chapter 3, verse 16, quote, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." This is one of the ways that God introduced himself to Moses. And this way of God describing himself reveals to us three things. First, that the reality of life does not end with physical death. And secondly, that God is not bound by the laws of death. And third, God has many times reached out to humanity to establish a covenant with him. And in doing this, he continually renews these covenants with the very reality of life by giving man access to life again. Because if we recall, God first creates Adam and Eve, but then they sinned through original sin and introduced spiritual death. And that's not the end of the story, because afterwards, God, through a series of covenants, reaches out to humanity to establish covenants. And every time he does, man is given access again to life itself. And so these covenants are, in a sense, a reopening of a, we could think of a gateway, in a sense, into the Garden of Eden, just kind of an analogy. If we think about the Garden of Eden, you had the Tree of Life. And so these covenants give you access again to the Tree of Life. They are opening to that. So in a sense, it's not like literally, no, we're going back to the Garden of Eden, but you are going back to your, I guess, a spiritual garden where you have the Tree of Life. You have God's graces being given access to you through the covenant.
Maybe, if I may.
Yeah, go ahead.
We're going back to the original source, it just in a different way. But going back to God, God's life, yes.
Yeah. All right. So from Christ's words, it's immediately apparent that the power of God is a required biblical hermeneutic in order to understand the truth and reality of the resurrection and immortality. And it is God's power that will reveal these truths to us. So if one does not understand God's power, he or she will not be able to understand these truths about the resurrection and immortality. And I think, you know, just bringing that into contemporary, that's a very important point to think about when talking with atheists or someone who's non-Christian. It's going to be very hard for them to understand the reality of the resurrection, immortality, the doctrine of the last things like heaven, hell, purgatory, simply because they do not understand the power of God. That's a very hard thing for them to think about. And so we should keep that in mind, be patient with them, even if they say all sorts of nonsensical things. Guillermo, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
I do not.
Okay. Let's see here. So some final remarks then. So JP2 is doing two things towards the end of the audience. First, he's kind of emphasizing that Christ is God's final word on the subject of the afterlife and immortality, the resurrection, and the new covenant which Christ established at the Last Supper on the cross. That opened up to all of humanity the prospect for life and access again to the Tree of Life. This is the meaning of Christ's life, death, and resurrection, the meaning of his mission here on earth. Now, the Sadducees, and to just kind of oppose them to Jesus, their anthropology, their understanding of the human person is essentially just psychosomatic. What that word is getting to is psychos, I think psychology. Think about instincts, drives, the things that belong to psychology. And then somatic, it's for, think soma, which is Greek for body. So we're talking about the flesh and psychological constitution of the human person. they did not have a concept of the soul. And without a concept of the soul, you cannot understand the immortality of the human person, or that which properly makes man a person, or what sets him apart from animals. This entire anthropology that JP2 laid out in the first 20 audiences is impossible on the Sadducee reading, because they essentially held a form of materialism when it came to the human person. The human person is essentially just an animal, no spiritual principle about him, no soul. And so the resurrection for the Sadducees is understood strictly within a bodily resurrection. Now, one thing to note is JP2 and footnote 75 does go into some of the historical critical method questions about this text, because apparently some modern biblical scholars actually believe that this actually did not happen, that it was something that later writers injected into the biblical text. And so there's some comments there by JB2 where he's arguing against that thesis. I just simply want to say that with a lot of modern biblical scholarship, you get this tendency among secular biblical scholars to push back against anything that makes Jesus appear to be a divine being that talks about the afterlife. And they try and take those passages and reinterpret them as later additions by the first Christian believers after Jesus died. And the reason is to try and, one, undermine the authority of Scripture, and two, undermine who Jesus really is. And so JP2 talks a little bit about that in the footnote. It's a little bit of a distraction, but it is worth noting that he does push back against a lot of the excesses of modern biblical scholarship. Guillermo, do you have anything else you would like to add?
Yes, because just in addition to these two points, one thing I would like to add is that this scholarship, it seeks to undermine the authenticity and legitimacy of the Catholic Church.
Exactly.
This isn't like they're wrong, and this is why, essentially. Exactly. And yeah, that's it, man. It's they have a bone to pick with the Catholic Church.
Yeah. Yep. If you could undermine Scripture, you could undermine the moral authority of the Catholic Church, and that's precisely mm-hmm. what they're trying to do.
Yep.
One thing to note is when we talked about the anthropology of the Sadducees, we are going to take up again in the next video on Audience 66 more about human anthropology, because there's actually a very fine point we want to make there. I guess you have nothing else, Guillermo?
I do not.
Okay. In that case, thank you for watching our video. If you have been enjoying our content, please like, subscribe, and share it. All those things helps us spread the word about JP2's message, and so we appreciate your help in doing that. If you would like to further support us, you can provide us with a, or I should say, you can donate to us some sort of financial contribution through PayPal or by becoming a member on Patreon. You can also, if you run the Brave web browser, you can also directly tip us cryptocurrency. So you can just be on our YouTube page or our web page, and without having to leave, you can directly tip us through the URL. Let's see here. Your financial support goes towards the maintenance of our website and our ability to purchase resources such as books so that we can continue providing you with great materials such as our video series and the many articles on our website at lenovelesprit.com. On there, we have many, many articles on all sorts of questions in theology and culture, a little bit of philosophy. And there, we also have our podcast, which, Guillermo, can you give us some more information, please?
Yes. In our other podcast series, we talk about a variety of topics, such as trends in culture and politics, and we address them from a Catholic personalist perspective. You could listen to us, to our podcast series, on the La Novela Esprit website itself, in the podcast page under media, and you could also use that page to locate us in Buzzsprout.com, where we could be listened to there, or use Buzzsprout.com itself to locate us in other popular platforms, such as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.
Oh, thank you. If you're wondering just where to find all of our stuff, you can simply go to lenovelesprit.com/subscribe. If you go there, you can find information for everything: PayPal, Patreon, Buzzsprout, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Facebook, you name it, it's there. Do you have anything else you'd like to add, Guillermo?
Yes, I would just like to ask our listeners to keep us and our mission in your prayers.
Yes, please pray for us. We are gracious for those. And with that, we will see you next time.
Bye, everyone. God bless.